Is that better? You just gotta love stuff like this. Come on, you just have to love stuff like this. I think we're there, right? We're there. Hallelujah. Very thankful for that. Well, I trust you had a good day. We had a good day. I got to spend some time with your pastor and his family. That's always a blessing. Appreciate that very, very much. And just enjoying the weather here. It's a little bit different in Missouri right now, so we're enjoying that. And then just everything. Thank you so much for being out tonight. I want to encourage you to continue to pray in that very same way. Lord, if you don't speak to anybody else, speak to me. Because we need that. And my wife trying to help my wardrobe there. So she just doesn't want to be ashamed. So I know that God wants to work. I know that. That without a doubt. I mean, that's without question. God wants to work in our hearts and work in our lives. And I know that you've been praying. Don't stop praying. Many of you said you've been praying about everything. Don't stop praying. That's what's going to get anything done that's going to get done. I'm just trying to get over some nervousness here. Bear with me just a little bit. Maybe you heard about this guy was driving down the road one day and he saw this lady had pulled her car over and she was back behind her car and dealing with something. So he whipped in there and went up and said, "Ma'am, you okay?" And she said, "I was driving, I didn't know, and this little rabbit ran out in front of me and I hit him and I think he's dead." And the fellow said, "Oh, hold on, wait, right here." And ran back to his car, opened up the trunk, dug around for a minute, came back and leaned over where the rabbit was, had this aerosol can and just sprayed it all over the rabbit. It was just a few seconds, the rabbit jumped up and took off. And it hopped a little ways and then it turned around and waved. And then it hopped a little ways, turned around and waved again. And then it hopped a little ways and turned around and waved again. It continued to do that until it was just about out of sight. And that lady said, "Mercy, what in the world did you spray on that rabbit?" And he held up the can and it said, "Hairspray." Revives dead hair and adds permanent wave. I'm sorry, I had to get it off my chest. It just had to come out. I'm sorry, it just had to come out. Let's turn to the Gospel of Matthew and chapter number 18. Matthew chapter 18. I do appreciate you being out tonight. Truly appreciate you being out tonight. But we have tomorrow night. And Wednesday night. So I hope that you'll continue to come because we never know what service is going to have the biggest impact on our life. And it really is an amazing thing how one message truly truly, if we're tuned in, if we're really wanting to hear from God, how one message can change our life. And so I hope you'll be here, and we're trusting God's going to work tonight also. Matthew chapter 18, look down in the chapter to verse number 21. We'll begin our reading there. Excuse me, Matthew chapter 18 and verse number 21. The Bible says, "Then came Peter to him," to Jesus, "and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times?" And Jesus saith unto him, "I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him, took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison, that he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. The title of this message is Holding On to Anger and Bitterness Will Hinder Your Life. And it definitely will. We're going to try to expound on that some. Would you pray with me one more time? Let's pray. Father, help us. Lord, we so desperately need your help, guidance in everything that we do, power that can only come from you, unction, clarity of thought and speech. You know what our need is. And Lord, we pray you'd provide it, that we might preach this message just the way that you'd have it done. And I pray for those that are here. I pray that you'd open our hearts and open our ears to what you have for us. I don't know these folks well, Lord, but you know them very, very well. So we ask you to speak to them as only you can through the preaching of your word. And Lord, help us. When that time comes for a response, help us to respond as you would speak to us. And we thank you for your goodness and mercy and all that you do. For we ask these things in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Thank you so much for standing, and please do be seated. I really do believe that anger and bitterness and unforgiveness are some of the worst sins in our churches today. I believe that. I mean, while there might not be a lot of drinking and smoking and cussing and gambling going on, okay. Well, I really hope there's not a lot of drinking and smoking and cussing and gambling going on. There's no doubt that there's a lot of people that sit in church pew week after week with unforgiveness and bitterness in their lives that keep them from living the life that God wants them to live. I mean, they rationalize things until it sounds logical that they should never forgive someone for what they did or what they said. There are those, I believe that there are those that don't have true peace and joy the way that God would have them to have in their life, though they say they do. But they don't, because someone has done them wrong somewhere along the way and they just completely refuse to forgive. And the sad part is that their life, the one holding on to it all, is the one that's being affected. It's not hurting the one that did them wrong. It's hurting them for holding on to it and not doing what God would have me to do. Because unforgiveness has turned to anger, and anger has turned to hatred. Even at times, hatred has turned to bitterness, and bitterness just eating them up. Bitterness, if not taken care of, will turn you into the one you're bitter against. It has that effect, truly. And it may be in something that happened years and years ago, but you've not let it go. I mean, it's still robbing you of the true joy that God wants us to have. In the portion of Scripture that we read tonight, Peter came to the Lord asking this question, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times?" Now, we have to remember who this is that came to Jesus. It's Peter. It sounds as though he's looking for a way out. Okay. If I forgive them seven times in a day and they do it again, can I hate them then, Lord? Come on. Really? Come on. Can I be mad at them then? Come on, Peter. He's like, can I clean their clock then? Peter, okay, let me time out here for a second. I can't believe you would talk about the disciples that way. These men left everything they have, these 12 men, they're living together, sleeping outside, walking with each other day after day. Come on, I figure there's going to be a little something going on, don't you? Well, those were the disciples. They were a bunch of sinners is what they were. And so you know there had to be some conflict along the way. Just different things, little things, whatever the case. And I don't know what had gotten under Peter's skin here. I don't understand that. But Jesus looked at him and said, "Now, Peter, wait a minute. Not just seven times a day, but seven times 70 or 490 times a day." That's a high standard that we would forgive and forgive and forgive like that. And somebody might say, "Oh, come on, preacher. Come on, Brother Marshall. Good grief. God doesn't expect us just to keep on forgiving like that, does he?" Yeah. He does, absolutely so. Amen. And he gives us the reason for that with this parable that he told to Peter, that he gave to us. And let me just paraphrase it a little bit. There's this king, this lord that has all these servants. And every once in a while he takes account of his servants. And he calls this one in, and this one's particular servant owed him 10,000 talents. Now, I've heard astronomical numbers about how much money that is today. I'll just think we can suffice with this. It's probably more than most of us will ever have. Amen. I mean, it's an astronomical amount of money. And he owes him 10,000 talents, and the guy says, "Well, I don't have that." And so the king says, "That's fine, no worry, not a worry. I'll sell you and your wife and your children and everything that you have and whatever comes in, I'll be happy with that." And the guy fell down before the Lord and he said, look, "Lord, if you'll just be patient with me, if you'll just be patient, I'll pay it all back. I will pay it all back." And the Bible says that this king, he had compassion on him. He had compassion on him. He loosed him, let him go, and forgave all the debt just because he asked him to. So this guy goes out and he finds one of his co-workers that owes him 100 pence. Now, if you still carry cash, you probably have that in your billfold right now or your purse. That's not very much money. It's not very much money at all. And he found this guy, he owes him 100 pence, he wasn't very nice. The Bible says he laid hands on him. Grabbed him by the throat. "Pay me now what you owe me. Pay me right now." And the guy, in the very same manner, said, "If you'll just be patient with me, I'll pay it all back." And then he goes on to say this guy that grabbed him wouldn't. He wouldn't forgive the debt. He wouldn't give him that time. But it says that he went out and cast him into prison. At this point, every time I read this, I think, what a brainiac. I mean, he's going to throw this guy in prison where he can't work and do anything else until he pays him back. Anyway, it's just crazy. And so there were some other co-workers that were out there, and they saw what happened. And they went and told the king what had happened, this lord, what had happened. And so he called him on the carpet. He called him back in, called him on the carpet. And he said, you are a wicked, wicked servant. I don't understand this. I forgave all that debt that you owed me just because you asked me to. And doesn't it seem right that you would do the same thing for others out there? I mean, even as I had pity on you, don't you think you'd do the same thing? And then it says the Lord was wroth. That's a word we don't use a whole lot. It just means he is very angry. He was very mad. And delivered him to the tormentors. To the tormentors. Till he should pay him all that was due. And I want you to get this. This is important. That's where the parable stops. The parable stops right there. It's a story to make a point, but that's where the parable stops. And then he says this to Peter. He says this to us. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. I believe that's where a lot of believers are today. I believe they've been delivered to the tormentor. What do you mean, preacher? You know, somebody did them wrong somewhere along the way, and they won't forgive. They won't let it go. And because of that, every time that person comes to mind, or somebody mentions their name, or maybe it's just a circumstance where something happens, and all of a sudden all these memories come flooding back about how this person or people did them wrong, and it starts this churning down here. And it causes you to be very uncomfortable. Amen. And I mean, you can't think straight. You can't sleep. You can't eat. I can't believe that they did that. Come on, you understand what I'm talking about? Sorry. Come on, you ever been there before? I mean, just so frustrated. And it's like, I just wished I could get back at them. I wished I could do to them what they've done to me. Amen. I wish I could make them feel the way that they made me feel. I wish I could do something just to get back at them. No. And it's torment, isn't it? I mean, it's horrible. And sometimes it'll keep you up at night. Sometimes it'll cause you to lose your appetite. Sometimes it'll cause you just to not be able to concentrate on anything else at all except the very fact that you sure would like to get back at them. Right. Delivered to the tormentors. Believe that. I do. But God... the Lord Jesus made a point here. And here's the point he made. And I'm going to expound on a little more than this, but here's the point he made. God has forgiven you for so much. How is it that you feel like you don't need to forgive others? Okay, let me ask you a question. Who in here is saved by God's grace? I'm telling you, all of your sin has been forgiven. Amen. No. All the sin you've ever committed, all the sin you're going to commit, all the sin you're committing right now, it's all been forgiven by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all been forgiven. And if we've been forgiven that much, how is it that we feel like we don't need to forgive other people? Matthew chapter 6 verse 14 says this, if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And some may say, stay with me here, some may say that's Old Testament. Now that we're in the New Testament, the church age, now God's just going to forgive all of our sin no matter what. Now hold it, wait. So what do you do with James chapter 4 and verse number 17, where the Bible says, therefore to him that... For him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So we know to do good. We know we're supposed to forgive the way we've been forgiven. But we're not willing to do that. What is that? Well, it's sin. Come on. Look, no. It may not be smoking and drinking and cussing and gambling and all that, but it's still sin. It's still sin. So if you're harboring that unforgiveness and bitterness in your heart, in the sight of God, it's sin. And if you do not confess that sin and forsake that sin, do you think it might hinder your Christian walk?
Yes.
Oh, absolutely so. No, it will. And I tell you, there's a lot of people that hold on to that stuff. And I'm talking about people that come to church every time the doors are open. They read their Bible every day. They do some praying, all these different things. And they can't figure out why they don't have the joy of the Lord the way they did at one time. They can't figure out why their heart isn't broken when they stand and sing those old hymns at times. They can't figure out why in the world it seems that they just have to suffer through everything. There's something going on, and they're harboring this thing. And I am telling you, if they decide that they are going to continue to hold on to it, no matter what anybody says or anybody thinks, what do you think it's going to do to them? James 1:15 says this, "Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." Sorry. Now, wait a minute. Wait, Brother Marshall, wait. You were talking about this, and then all of a sudden you jump to lust? Well, yeah, because lust doesn't always have to have a sexual connotation to it.
Right.
No, I'm talking about the lust of the flesh. The lust of the flesh, wanting to get even, wanting them to suffer like you suffered, wanting retribution for what's been done or said. Do you really think that's the way that God would have you to be? We can go back to Scripture, Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. The Bible says, "But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." Okay, come on, ladies and gentlemen. This is where the rubber meets the road for Christianity. I mean, we can clean up the outside. All we want to clean up the outside. But I'm telling you, if it's all wrong on the inside, we're not right with God.
Amen.
It doesn't matter how good we look to our brothers and sisters in Christ. If we're if we're holding on to things that we should not hold on to, it's going to hurt us.
Right.
Because we really are to love others. Over in John chapter number 13, verse number 34, Jesus said this, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know you are my disciples, that you have loved one unto another." Well, preacher, we know that we're supposed to love one another. Whoa. He said that we're to love one another the way he loves us. And I don't know about you, but I know about me real well. And I know he has forgiven me over and over and over and over and over and over again. And continues to do so. So let me ask you a question. How are people going to perceive us if we don't love one another? And if we don't forgive one another? If we harbor that anger and bitterness and grudges against one another? How are people out there going to perceive us? Well, let me tell you something, Brother Marshall. People understand. People at work understand. They know some of the things I've gone through, and they understand why I feel like I feel and do what I do. I mean, people understand, Brother Marshall. Oh, no, I understand. You're right. That's exactly the way the world thinks. But we're not to be like this world. We're to be like Christ. Come on, that's what Christian means, Christ-like. We're to be like Christ. So it is very possible, isn't it, to be saved by the grace of God and not to be living like a Christian.
Right. Amen.
Truly.
Right.
Yep. We're not to be like them. We shouldn't want to be found to be like this world. No. But to be like Him. To be like Him. I mean, the one that saved our soul. The one that changed our life. The one that did what only He can do. And somebody might say, well, but you don't know exactly what happened to me. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know what they did. You don't understand. No, I understand that. But I know what happened to Christ.
Amen.
I know how they treated Him. I know what they did to Him. And I know when He hung on that cross, He cried out, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." You know, I've not read anywhere in my Bible, Brother Mark, where anybody came by while Jesus was hanging on the cross and said, "Hey, listen, I was one of those guys that spit on you. Would you forgive me for that? I was one of the people that was cursing you when you were walking up here with that cross on your back. Would you forgive me for that? I was the one that held the whip in my hands and whipped you while you were on the whipping post. Would you forgive me for that?" No. I don't see anywhere where anybody asked Him for forgiveness. And yet He said, "Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do." Well, what are we supposed to do, preacher? Look, the help that we need is not going to come until we forgive.
Right.
We have to forgive.
That's right.
And again, we do that for us. We don't do it for the one that wronged us.
Right.
We do it for us. Amen. To restore that peace in our life, that peace in our heart. To get rid of the torment.
Right.
To work on that. Because see, God made a way.
Amen.
Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ,
amen,
which strengtheneth me.
Amen.
That would be forgiveness also, wouldn't it?
Right.
Absolutely. Yeah. Ephesians 2:4 says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved.
Amen.
So if you are born again child of God, you're really saved by the grace of God. The love with which God loves you is in you by the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
According to Romans chapter number 5. Romans chapter 5, verse number 5 says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. So you have to understand, if you're saved by the grace of God, the love of God is in here. It's already in here.
Amen.
No, we have to learn to let it out. Okay, come on, we have to learn to practice it.
Amen. Right.
Because it's not about the way we feel.
Right.
It's all about what God says.
Amen.
Is right or is wrong. It's all about what he says, truly. So, preacher, what I do? Hebrews chapter number 12 and verse 14 says this. Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. I'm going to tell you right now, preacher, I'm not forgiving them. Now, I'm not going to forgive them, and I ain't hurting anybody but me. You're wrong.
Right.
No, you're wrong.
That's right.
You may think that you're not hurting anybody but you, but the Bible disproves that, because it says, and thereby many be defiled. The people around us, they know when that bitterness is coming out. They know. No, it doesn't matter what we say. I tell you, I'm not bitter. Maybe you are. A little bit. No, they know. And it harms the people around us. Truly. Because what usually happens is we usually end up taking that out on those that are right there. Yeah. Okay, Brother Marshall, I understand that, but it just seems like the same old thing. It just keeps coming up. It just keeps coming up. Well, it talks about that. The root of bitterness springing up. It talks about that. And that's the root. And I'm willing to talk about this. And Pastor, I mean, if I'm out of line here, I certainly want you to correct what I had to say, but I'm not sure that while we're still alive, while we still have this flesh on, that we'll ever be able to get rid of the root.
Right.
I'm just not sure we'll ever be able to get rid of the root. Well, why is that? Well, because when God forgives, he has the ability to forget.
Right.
And he chooses to do so.
Amen.
No, he forgives sin and then he forgets. He has the ability to do that. We don't. Now, I do have great abilities to forget phone numbers and names. I can do that. The root. And I'm not sure if we can ever get rid of that. But I do believe that we can take care of it every time it sprouts. When I was a kid... one of my punishments at times would be to go out in the yard and pull weeds. Oh, man, I detested that. I'd go out and pull weeds. Bill, go over and pull weeds. I detested that. So I'm out one day, and I'm pulling weeds, you know. I'm pulling weeds, and it's such a pain. And I got this bright idea. I thought, I've got a pocket knife. I believe every boy ought to have a pocket knife. Well, oh, no, they'll cut themselves only once. You learn pretty fast when you see blood. You learn pretty fast. Anyway, so I got my pocket knife out, man, and I am chopping weeds, baby. I mean, weeds are going. They're going. You know, the bad thing about weeds is they grow fast, like overnight sometimes. You know, so it's not long before you didn't get it, and you know, I'm back out in the yard pulling weeds again. We may not be able to get the root out, but every time that it springs up, we can chop it off. Amen. If we're so determined to do that, we can do that, but it has to be our choice to do that. Let me expound on that just a little bit. In our years of being a Christian, along the way in our Christian life, our family has been hurt. I'm not looking for sympathy. I'm just going to tell you a story. I'm not going to tell you details. But our family was hurt by other Christians. Hurt by the actions of other professing Christians. And I have to tell you, it affected me that my family was hurt that way. It affected me. And I had a hard time with it. Truly did have a hard time with it. And I was tormented. I mean, I was tormented. And I'd do pretty good, and then somebody would mention a name, and it's like, here it goes again. The churning starts again. Here's these crazy thoughts in my head again, retribution, and getting even, and all these things. And I knew that I could not be the Christian that God would have me to be if I didn't do something about that. I knew that even if I wanted to play the Christian game and go on like nothing was wrong, I just knew that it was going to affect me. And it was going to affect my walk with God because I was disobedient to God. Come on, he said, if you don't forgive, I'm not going to forgive. Now, I understand all our sins are forgiven across the board, but if we're going to have good fellowship with God, it's good to be right with God, isn't it? Sure. And so I came to a place where I got down and I forgave. I just forgave. Just forgave. Lord, I can't live like this any longer. I can't do this anymore. I forgive. I forgive these folks. I put them into your hands. You're the one that can take care of it if you so desire to do that. My hands are off. I forgive these folks. I forgive them. And I have to admit, I mean, it was like relief. Relief. I did the best I could to forgive, brother. I mean, forgive. And I thought, this is great. This is great. And then maybe, I don't know how many days went by, whatever, and the thought came in or somebody said something, whatever, and all of a sudden, there it is springing up again. And I remember thinking, Lord, I don't want this. I don't want this to overtake me again. I don't want to be like this no more. I forgive them, Lord, again. I forgive them. They're forgiven on my part. And there were some days that I would forgive, and then 15 minutes later, springing up, churning starts. I got to forgive. I'm not going to carry this. I'm not going to let this weigh me down again. Lord, I forgive them. And maybe again that day, and maybe again that same day, and maybe again that same day. Now, you may not be as carnal as I am, but that's the way that it was. And every time that it would do that, I would just forgive again. Lord, I forgive them. I don't want this to hinder my walk with you. I don't want this to hinder my ministry that you allow me to be in. I want to be as right as I can be with all of this, and I forgave again. And some days, it was multiple times. But here's the thing. And I never kept count, Brother Ben. I never kept count, but I'm pretty sure as many times as I had forgiven a day, that it never reached 490. And here's the thing. I think God set the number high because He knows us. And if we're willing to just obey Him and continue to forgive that way, even if we have to forgive multiple times a day, I truly believe that as we do that, and we're obedient to Him, I truly believe that there comes that time, I experienced it in my own life, where the grace of God just is very real. And it's like the relief comes again, and maybe it's a long, long time before that ever would come up again. And I'm very thankful for that. He set the number high so that we could just continue to deal with our wicked flesh. Amen. Because our flesh doesn't always want to be obedient to God. I'm telling you, it's worth the effort to put that out. 70 times 7 a day. And somebody might say, wait. It seems as though I've forgiven them enough. Doesn't it seem like I've forgiven them enough? No, wait. Why should we worry about doing too much for God when He has done so much for us? Why? And so every time that bitterness begins to well up in your soul, just chop it off. Don't give it time to grow. Don't let it spread. Immediately take care of it before it takes you down again. Just take care of it. Well, Brother Marshall, can I ask you a question? Well, if you hurry, I'm trying to move along here. Well, what if I don't feel like it? Well, that's a good question. The answer to that would be forgiveness is not an emotion. Forgiveness is a choice. Come on, we don't always feel like doing that. But we can choose to do that, can't we? We can. No, listen. We can choose to show other people the grace and mercy of God that has been shown to us over and over again. We can choose to do that. But it has to be a choice that comes from us. I mean, God's forgiven you over and over and over again. No doubt about it. Psalm 78:38 says, "But He, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity, destroyed them not, yea, many a time turned His anger away, and did not stir up all of His wrath, for He remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passes away and cometh not again. How oft did they provoke Him in the wilderness and grieve Him in the desert, and yet God forgave and forgave and forgave and forgave and forgave." So what are we supposed to do? Well, we prayerfully seek the Lord for deliverance and forgiveness from our anger and bitterness. Philippians 4:6 says this. This is a great. "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Don't miss this. "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." I don't know what to do with all this bitterness. Take it to God. Take it to Him. And forgive. Just forgive. Well, preacher, I'd like to have that peace back. I have to admit that on that thing. But I just don't see how, me being this way, I don't see how it's going to hurt other people. Well, let me tell you a story, and then we'll choose up sides and go home, okay? You that were here Sunday morning, you heard part of my testimony, how I was raised in a drunkard's home. My dad was very abusive when he drank. I mean, very mean, very, very abusive to my mother, my sisters, myself. Just a horrible, horrible, horrible life. And he threw me out of the house when I was 17, and all. And I didn't see him. I mean, I didn't want to see him after that point. I just, not at all. Not long after that happened, my mother and he divorced, and he went off and got married to somebody else, and so I didn't see him. But I hated him. I don't say that with gladness. I'm ashamed, but I did. I hated him. And 10 years went by, and I got saved by the good grace of God. I'm so thankful, so thankful. And it wasn't real long after I got saved that God began to deal with me about forgiving my dad. And pretty much here's what I told God the first time he dealt with me about forgiving my dad. I ain't forgiving him. I ain't going to do it. Amen. And God would deal with my heart. You really need to forgive your dad. And I was like, I ain't forgiving my dad. I'm not going to do it. Lord, I'm thankful you saved my soul. I'm thankful you've changed my life so drastically already. But I am not forgiving my dad. I'm not going to do it. Surely I'm not the only one in here that's ever argued with God. Amen. And God continued to deal with me about that. You've got to forgive your dad. You've got to forgive your dad. And I'd argue, I'm not forgiving my dad. I'm not going to forgive him. You just don't understand what he did. Like God didn't understand what he did, you know. God knew everything that went on. He knew that. And he just continued to deal with me until he got me to a place where I knew I had to forgive my dad. And I did. I didn't know where he was in the world. I didn't know if he's still alive. I got down, apologized to God for being so obstinate and asked for his forgiveness, and I just forgave my dad. I said, Lord, I don't even know where he is. I'm putting him into your hands because you can best handle this. You can handle this a lot better than I can. And I forgave him. And it was like, well, that's what I needed to do. Why didn't I do that a long time ago? You know? It was good. And again, I don't know the exact time frame, but it wasn't a real long time before God began to deal with me about witnessing to my dad. Tell him about Jesus. And I'm like, well, I don't even know where he is. But God kept laying it on my heart. You need to talk to your dad about Jesus. And so I did a little research and found out where he had moved. And found out a phone number for him. And I remember standing in our kitchen of the mobile home we lived in at the time and getting on the phone. I had to actually pick it up off the wall. Do this deal. You know, some of you understand that anyway. And so I called the number and it rang and 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 rang. This is before the days before the answer machines were so popular. Anyway, it kept ringing. And my thought was, it's the phone at the barn. Because he always kept the phone down at the barn. Finally, somebody picked it up. Hello? I said, yeah, it's Bill Marshall there. Hey, he's around here somewhere. Let me see if I can find him. You know, clunk, phone goes down. I'm just waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. Finally, voice comes over the phone. Hello? I said, hey, Dad, this is Little Bill. That's what they call him. His dad, his name was William. Anyway, they called me Little Bill. I said, this is your boy. It's Little Bill. Silence. Yeah? I said, well, Dad, I just want to call and check and see how you're doing. And really, Dad, I wanted you to know that I got saved. Yeah? I said, well, Dad, I wanted to call you and ask if you would forgive me. Wait, Brother Marshall, wait. You asking him to forgive you? Well, yeah, what was I supposed to do? Hey, I'm calling to ask me to forgive you. I'd already forgiven him. No, you follow me here? I'd already forgiven him. That was done. And I wasn't the best kid with all my drug and alcohol problems back during that time before he threw me out of the house. Dad, I'm just calling to, I want you to forgive me for the way I was back then. You know what he said? Yeah, whatever. Well, how'd that make you feel, Brother Marshall? It made me feel great. I mean, I did what God wanted me to do. I did what God wanted me to do. You know, Dad, I'd really like to talk to you sometime about how I got saved. Yeah, well, I got to go. Oh, okay. So God continued to deal with me about witnessing to my dad. So I found out where he was living and made a trip to see him and caught him at the barn. And we sat there and I shared the old story with him. About how Jesus died, the story that Brother Mark sang tonight. About how Jesus died for his sin and would save him, forgive him, save his soul. And here's what he said. Boy, I just ain't ready. Now, I was thankful he said that. No. No, I'd rather somebody say that than just make a false profession. Amen. Say some prayer, it doesn't mean anything, you know. And so years were going by, and every chance that I got, I started traveling and evangelism, and every chance I got to where I was close to wherever he had his place at that time, he moved around quite a bit, and wherever his place was, if I find out, I'd go by, and I would share that old story with him again, you know. Boy, Dad, God wants to save you. Jesus died for you. And here's what he'd say. Boy, I just ain't ready. Okay. And I don't know exactly how many times I shared that with him throughout the years. But 14 years after I got saved, I was preaching a revival meeting about a mile and a half so from his place where he was. Little country church, Calvary Baptist Church, little building. And I knew I was going to be there, so I called him. I said, hey, Dad, I'm going to be right down the road. I'm going to be preaching Sunday through Friday. Sure would like for you to come be a part of that. Sunday went by, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Dad doesn't show up. So Thursday night after service, I got on the phone. I called him. I said, hey, Dad, let's go to breakfast tomorrow morning. Yeah, okay. So he came, got me. We went to breakfast, talked about a whole lot of different things. And then on the way back to the church where I was staying, I shared that old story with him again. Dad, you really need to get saved. You need to get saved. And he said, boy, we're pulling up to the church. I can see it in my mind's eye. Boy, I just ain't ready. And God gave me the liberty of that day to say this. Dad, you need to get ready. Amen. You're 72 years old. And you don't even know if you have tomorrow. Would you please come to the meeting tonight? Last night of the meeting. Yeah, I'll be there. And he did. He showed up. He came in. There was a center aisle. And he sat over here about four pews back, right on the aisle. I preached the message that God had laid on my heart for him. I didn't change the message. I just preached what God had given me for the church. And we had a good service. Invitation time came. I was praying like crazy. Dad didn't move. So the service is all over. Pastor and I are standing back by the back door. People are leaving, saying goodbye, all that stuff, last night and all that, saying all that. And got down to the last person left, but my dad was still in the auditorium. And the pastor said, hey, the parsonage was right next door. He said, hey, you know, whenever you get through visiting with your dad, just come on over. We'll have a bite to eat. That's fine. So I walked back into the auditorium. Dad, for whatever reason, had been down around the pulpit area, and he had turned around. He was walking toward me. I walked toward him. We met about halfway back. My dad was a big man. I mean, he was not as tall as I am, but he was a big, big man. Not fat, just big and stout. All those cowboy years. And we met halfway down, and I looked at him, he looked at me, and I saw something in my dad I'd never seen before, ever. There was a big tear running down his cheek. And he looked at me, and here's what he said. "Boy, I'm ready." That may not excite you, but it still excites me to this day. Because we went over to the pastor's little office there in that church building, and I had the privilege of leading my dad to the Lord. And it changed him, because that's what real salvation does. No, he was a different man after that point. Kurt was a different man after that point. And I'd stop by every chance I got. I got him a Bible. I'd take him preaching tapes. And, I mean, just anything I could to encourage him in his new Christian life and walk. He lived 4 years after that. And cancer got him. I think I told you the other morning, I got to preach his funeral. Very thankful for that. His favorite horse was there. He wanted his favorite horse at the funeral. And so it was there. The last time I saw him alive, I mean really saw him where he could talk to me, I was in the hospital room when he went to heaven. He was out of it. But anyway, the last time I saw him, we had a good conversation at his house. I went and we visited for a while, and it was getting late afternoon, and so it was time for me to leave, and we got up out of the living room and headed through the dining room and into the kitchen. There was a door with a big glass window on it, facing the west. I remember the sun was going down. And we stopped there in the kitchen for just a second. And we talked about a couple of things. And then he said this. "You know, boy," I don't know if he just didn't like my name or what. I don't know. He's called me boy and he called a lot. But anyway, "boy," here's what he said. "I'd probably never listen to anybody but you. About the gospel."
Praise the Lord.
You know? No, it's, I can hear it. "I'd probably never listen to anybody but you." You know what my dad told me at that time? In essence. That if I had not forgiven him the way God wanted me to forgive him, he'd be in hell tonight probably. So, our unforgiveness and bitterness can have a bad effect on other people, can it?
Amen.
Somebody might be thinking, "Well, Brother Marshall, I'm telling you, you know, I don't even know where the person is that offended me. I don't want to know where they are. It's not like I'm going to make them a friend." Let me stop right here. No, I'm almost done. Write it down. You don't have to. You don't have to. You just need to forgive.
That's right.
And if you have to continue to forgive as time goes on, every time it springs up, forgive again.
Amen.
And forgive again. You don't ever have to see them again. You don't have to make them a friend. None of those things. I mean, not unless God just prompts you to do that.
Right.
Just forgive, because that's for you.
Amen.
And that's for the people that are still around you. To. And I promise you, if we want God to work on our heart and in our life, we have got to be obedient to Him. And one of the big things, and we can't deny it, one of the big things is that we are willing to be like Christ in this area of forgiveness. We have to be willing to forgive. We have to be willing to let it go. And to let God do in our heart and our life what only He can do. And let me say this. I know that in some instances with some things, that's not easy. It's not like you just think it's so easy. Oh no, I don't. I've been through it. I told you my stories. I've been through it. I know it's not always easy, but I guarantee you, it's worthwhile.
Amen.
It can be life-changing. And all it takes is for you to make the decision and carry through with it.
Amen.
I'm going to forgive. I'm going to put it into God's hands. And every time that it springs up, I'm going to do it again. And even if I have to do it 489 times in one day, I'm going to continue to forgive. And I promise you, the grace of God is very real and the peace of God is very real. And He can help you more than you ever dreamed. Yeah. Holding on to anger and bitterness will hinder your life. It will. Maybe it's time to let it go. Just let it go. Will you stand with me? Let's stand. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. No one looking around in respect to the Lord. I just feel I need to ask the question. Maybe you're here tonight and you'd say, "Preacher, I'm not even sure I'm saved. I'm not even sure I've ever trusted Christ as my Savior. I'm just not sure. I don't have that nailed down. Would you please pray for me?" Well, I'd like to pray for you. You're here tonight. You're not sure you're saved. Would you allow me to pray for you? Just slip your hand up wherever you are. Just let me pray for you. I'm not going to point you out. Not going to come get you. Nothing. I just want to pray. Lord, preacher, I'm just not sure I'm saved. Please pray for me. Anybody here like that tonight? I want to do that. Yeah. Yeah. You're here tonight and you'd say, "God spoke to my heart tonight, preacher. There's somebody I know. There's a situation. There's somebody I know that I need to forgive. And I know that's what I need to do. Would you please pray for me that I'll do what I need, that I know I need to do in that area, that I'll forgive the way I should?" You're here like that tonight. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Say, "Preacher, please pray for me. I know I need to take care of that." Would you just slip your hand up where you're at? Let me pray for you that way. Hold them up just a second. God bless your honesty. All across the auditorium, I appreciate that. You may put your hands down. Piano's going to play. I'm going to pray. Piano's going to play. Altar's open. Some have already come. You need to come. Don't hesitate. Go ahead and let God have His way. Father, bless now this truth that we have seen tonight and help us to be obedient. I pray for those in here that may not know Christ as their Savior. I pray that You'd deal with their hearts and draw them to Yourself. Bring them to that place of salvation. And for all the other needs, Lord, You know the needs. And You know what needs to happen. I pray that You would give the wherewithal, the great grace, or that folks would come tonight, whatever forgiveness needs to be given, that they'd take care of that before they leave this place. And we ask You these things and trust You for them all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Piano's going to play. Some have already made their way to the altar. You need to make your way to the altar. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. Don't wait to see what somebody else is going to do. You do what God, you know God would have you to do. Whatever God wants. Don't hold on to it any longer. It's time to let it go. Would you come? Let Him have His way. Whatever He wants to do. While I am waiting, yielded and still, have Thine own way, Lord, have Thine own way. Search me.
Sing that. What page is that, Grant?
306.
306. Let's find that and sing it together. Power all power. divine. I want to sing. I think we should sing that same verse again. How appropriate is that? Wounded and weary, help me, I pray. Just think about those words in relationship to that great sermon we just heard. Sing verse 3 again. Let's all sing it together. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Wounded and weary, help me, I pray. Power, all power, surely is thine. Touch me and heal me, Savior divine. God's people said,
amen.
What a message.